welcome to the Fantasy Rewind Podcast. I'm your co-host, Dylan Stoll, and as always, I'm joined by my friend Mike.
Hey.
So today, we are continuing on with our Percy Jackson and the Olympians coverage over on Disney Plus with episode 5, which is titled...
A God Buys Us Cheeseburgers.
A God Buys Us Cheeseburgers. I can has cheeseburgers. And the titles keep on coming. Love it. All right. So before we go any farther, I'm going to give out the typical reminders. If you want to get in contact with the show, you can send us an email, which is fantasyrewindpod@gmail.com. We're also on X, which is @fantasyrewind. And we're on Instagram as well, which is fantasyrewindpod. All right. Without any further delay, Mike, let's dive into this Percy Jackson Rewind.
Fantasy Rewind. All right, Dylan. So I'm just going to real quickly kind of go through this broad strokes, and then we'll just jump into some of the things we want to talk about. In this episode, we have our characters realize that, oh, Percy's alive. Great. We can't take another train or a bus or anything because we have the cops looking for us because we, you know, busted up a train. And we blew a hole in the arch.
Ooh. St. Louis Arch is smoking.
Yeah. So they decide we're going to just walk to Santa Monica. And so they start walking down the highway and a motorcycle starts going and they're like, okay, let's hide. So they kind of sit down. They're talking to each other and this motorcycle stops. Off pops this kind of bigger gentleman who's in this trench coat. Not scary at all or creepy at all. And he's like, hey, I can help you guys. They're like, what? They're like, yeah. And turns out he is Ares, the god of war. And so he's like, meet me at the diner up ahead. And they're like, oh, fine. So they go and they meet Ares. And basically Ares makes a deal with, I'll help you guys on your quest because, you know, I want to help my dad out. And we don't need a war on Olympus. I couldn't have had a bigger eye roll.
Says the god of war.
Yeah. Couldn't have had a bigger eye roll for that. He's like, go get my shield from this water amusement park that's, you know, just down the road or whatever. It's kind of funny how these things just sort of pop up. in the books, it was always funny. And Annabeth and Percy agree because their choices are help me or die.
Pretty much, yeah.
And so Grover ends up staying with Ares as collateral so that they actually come back.
Right, a little hostage.
Yeah. And Annabeth and Percy go. They find out that this park is not just a regular old park. There's celestial bronze there. And so this was made by a god. And they were like, oh, it's made by Hephaestus. Well, Annabeth figures it out. Percy's just kind of like, ooh. And they put a few clues together and kind of get Hephaestus' story in this park about him kind of being the outcast of the gods and being treated pretty poorly.
Hmm.
And, you know, never accepted by his mother because he's has a lame leg and, you know, he's disfigured in at least some forms of Greek mythology. He's disfigured in the show. I thought he didn't didn't think he looked disfigured, but he created a trap to trap Hera, which was a throne. And in this case, they find that the shield has been trapped and. Percy sacrifices himself
again
to rescue the shield and therefore rescue Grover and help them on their quest. And it really kind of shows the evolution of Annabeth and Percy's relationship there. But we'll talk more about that
definitely.
In a minute. Hephaestus comes out and basically tells Annabeth, like, hey, you can go. And she's like, I'm just going to try and figure this out. He's a good person, and he does. This is not something he deserves. Hephaestus ends up taking kind of pity or just sort of understands the situation Annabeth is in and Percy's in and frees Percy and lets them leave with the shield. And they bring it to Ares, who gives them a resupply, a backpack full of money and everything else, and a train or a ride in the back of a tractor trailer to Las Vegas, where they will meet Hermes to get transportation all the way to Santa Monica. That's kind of the end of that episode. Now, Grover does do some good work with Ares and having discussions with him about who could have stolen the bolt. And Grover kind of showed he's more than just regular old satyr that we know. Anyway, Dylan, what are some of the major points you want to talk about? I think some things probably the first thing we should talk about is really Annabeth and Percy's relationship in this episode. Because there's a lot more with kind of how the gods have treated each other. And I think that's really good, kind of the big thing in this episode. Last episode, you know, it was kind of their parents being gods and their relationship with their parents and how it could kind of go sour or be positive pretty quickly over little things. And, you know, Percy coming to accept his dad. And then in this episode, we kind of get like the Olympians have not always been nice to each other. And Ares really says that. He's like, it's what we do. We betray each other. We fight each other, yada, yada, yada. And both Hephaestus and Percy are kind of breaking that mold. And that's kind of how Annabeth gets Percy out, is by saying, like, he's going to be better than us, right?
Yeah.
And I think that...
But he's not a part of their world. He's not the person who's, like, hung up on the glory. He doesn't care about that stuff. He's doing this to get his mother back. He's doing this because he's a good person. And Hephaestus, you can tell, relates to Percy in that respect, as far as, like, not caring about the glory, not really fitting in with the Greek world, Greek mythological world. And again, like, it shows that Percy and Annabeth are growing closer and closer together, and the person that he picked because he could never be friends with her is quickly becoming a best friend.
And it's great because they really do. Their friendship is super important as we go forward, and it really does develop throughout the books. But I liked it. I liked this episode for that, and for kind of showing that dark side of the gods, like Aphrodite, you know, going with Ares, even though she's married to Hephaestus, like
constantly cheating on her husband.
And, like, how terrible that is.
I mean, honestly, the whole story of Hephaestus and how he got with Aphrodite is pretty messed up in the first place.
110%.
But, like, that's Greek mythology for you. Like, it is so messed up as far as,
relationships,
like,
offspring.
Relationships, so incestuous and so twisted. Yeah. But, yeah. Thankfully, you know, it's not going to be all about that stuff here. This is more about, like, Percy's story. The other thing I do want to talk about, though, is just Ares in general.
Definitely need to dive in.
And, so, like, this is the first time that we've met Dionysus, you know, Mr. D, who runs the camp. But this is the first time that we're having our heroes, our characters, Percy and Annabeth and Grover, meet a full-fledged Olympian god. And so the reverence that they pay to Ares isn't because they like him, isn't because they are fans of his work, even though Grover tries to schmooze him a little bit and sing his praises about the different wars and everything. But it's because this dude can kill you with a blink of an eye. And he's prone to do that. So what was your, like, first impression, though, Mike, as far as, like, how they portrayed Ares, the rough, gruff biker dude that he was in the series here? What was your first impression of that?
I thought they kind of hit it pretty well. Did he match the picture in my head? No, not necessarily. I did picture him a little bit more imposing, like muscles on muscles. But, I mean, the actor they have playing him, I think, did a really good job. And he really kind of got across that gruffness and, like, that almost craze a little bit, right? In the diner, there were some points where his fervor was really there and his ability to get people kind of riled up. Grover used that to his advantage, right?
To rile himself up.
You see, like, he does try to get people irritated or agitated, and he was trying to do that with Percy a lot. Annabeth was kind of over it, and Grover picked up on that and could tell Ares' disdain for Athena and her children.
Right.
Because he got really upset with Annabeth a few times about her kind of thinking through some of the things he was saying and whatnot. So I thought they did a really nice job with that. And I really liked those conversation pieces with Annabeth and him and with Grover and him, because showed Grover has, like, you know, he's a pretty cunning person.
Some wit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He knows how to kind of get information out. And we haven't always seen that with him. So I think this episode was really nice to get both Annabeth and Percy's relationship kind of closer, and Grover sort of going into his own person. And that kind of lent into the next episode too with Grover as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I thought that the way that Ares was portrayed in this episode was pretty good, because he seemed like a dude bro on a bike, but one that had like a dangerous glint to his eye. Like, you could just kind of tell, like, he was so aggressive, and like, you could just see the aggression barely under the surface of like everything he was doing.
Like, it would just take just a little bit and he'd snap. Yeah, that's a good point.
Exactly. One thing I did want to mention as well, and we already kind of talked about how Grover was able to use like his cunning, his wit, to try and twist some of what Ares was doing back on himself and try to get some information out of him. But one of the things I found very interesting in this episode is how at the very end, Grover's like, guys, I know who stole the lightning bolt. And I thought it was so interesting that throughout like all that conversation there, you never really, at least I didn't, because I've never read the books and everything, like, have an idea about like how he could have gotten that information from Ares based on what Ares had said there. But he seemed very confident in his ability to deduce who was the real lightning thief there. So I just kind of wanted to ask you, like, if you thought that the way that Grover just like comes out with that was on brand for him, was like earned, I guess, or is it more of like a, I'm just going to guess this person based on.
I'm going to be honest, I don't even remember if that was in the books or not. I think maybe that was just done for dramatic effect, but I do like the idea of him kind of sleuthing that out just a little bit. And spoiler alert, it's not the correct.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, cause it's a wrong answer. So he's like, comes out very convinced that it's the right answer.
It shows him piecing things together, which, I mean, I think in the next episode, Percy's like, oh, I'm just realizing that there's like real ramifications for this. And like, there's things beyond my control. Might have been the next episode or might have been this one. And they were like, have you guys known this the entire time? And they both look at him like, yeah, duh. That might have been on the train even. That was on the train. Oh, there's all these little moments that kind of have floated together as I've watched all these episodes. But I think it was fine. I wish they had given maybe just a little bit more to lead into who he says. Yeah, might have.
I think, though, for me, that the biggest takeaway from this episode was still just the Percy and Annabeth relationship. And that, I thought, was the highlight of this episode as well, because I thought that it was done very well.
And also, too, like, Hephaestus, I think, was great. Him being like, I'm going to tell your mom, you know, put in a good word for you. And also, too, like, Annabeth talking about, like, it really showed the differences between Percy and Annabeth, right? Annabeth coming from this world and kind of growing up in it, and her existence being different than Percy's, right? She was a thought given to her father that turned into a child, and how she was eventually kind of left, you know, as her father remarried. She sort of went from being this treasured thing to not. And I don't remember if that was this episode or not, but Percy's, you know, had his mom and grew up with her and had that person, and he was kind of the only one.
Whereas, like, Annabeth, like you mentioned, her relationship with her mother, like, having to try to constantly earn her love, prove she's worthy of her love, that's been all she's known her whole life, pretty much, since her dad moved on and had more of a second family and everything. But I do think it also shows, like, just how different Percy is from the rest of the half-bloods, the rest of the Greek gods and everything, because he was raised outside of this. He's not as caught up in their inner schemes and everything as everyone else is. And I think that's part of what Hephaestus liked about Percy and why he let him go as well, is like, just like that spoke to him about that outsiderness feeling.
And Percy too, to his point earlier on, and this was just to, again, kind of make the cross connection between how he shifted his view, was really upset that he had to even earn his dad's approval by fighting Clarice at camp to get acknowledged, right? And like how messed up that was. And Animus just like, that's how things are. But he's like, it shouldn't have to be this way. And coming in with that perspective, again, going forward is going to be big.
Right. And like, I have some stuff I want to talk to you about now, but I'm going to wait till we get to that point in the series.
That's fine.
Is there anything else that you felt like we should cover for this episode?
No. And I'm pretty sure we talked about things that weren't in this episode. But that's okay.
That is okay. We can talk about them again when we get to the appropriate time, which probably is next episode.
Probably.
All right, but that's going to do it for us for episode 5 of, is this episode 5?
Yeah, Percy Jackson.
Oh my gosh,
season 1.
This is episode 5.
God buys us cheeseburgers.
3 episodes left. We are almost through. All right, we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.